Nova Guest List Podcast
with Kieran McGuinness.
The very best in indie, alternative, and homegrown music from the seriously addictive Radio Nova.
Yeah, that was the brilliant Harry Dean, the name of the song by Paddy Hannah, the fantastic Irish artist who's on his fifth album. We just released on Friday, Oilgate. Absolutely fantastic. And we love Paddy Hannah on the show. We loved his last album, Imagine, I'm Hoping. And we're very, very lucky to have Paddy on the line right now. How's it going, Paddy?
Oh, it's good to be back. You know, I'm feeling very well, and it's nice to be back. That's all I can say, really.
Yeah. So you released the album on Friday. I mean, it must be like absolutely great to get it out.
You've done this as many times as I have. You know that release day isn't quite the picnic it's cut out to be. It's terrifying. In addition to sort of putting so much time and effort into making the bleeding thing, you then have to kind of get to grips with the fact that the general public is now going to be listening to you bearing your soul. That's a scary thought, you know? So, yeah, Friday was rough, but, you know, people have been very kind. We've got some really nice reviews and write-ups. That combined with my performance at Record Store Day in the wonderful Rage in Temple Bar has really sort of got me back on track. So, you know, it's I feel good, I feel grateful, and yeah, just happy to be back.
Yeah, I had a lovely day at Record Store Day. We were talking about that earlier on. But there's lots to talk about then, if you're talking about bearing your soul. So I'm not giving too much away to say that you've become a parent since your last album, and the album, there's a lot of themes of parenthood, and I recognise the fear, and I recognise the joy, and I recognise the questioning yourself that kind of goes across the album.
Yeah, I mean, it's so weird because it's become the kind of thing that I seem to talk about most when describing this album, you know, being a parent. And are there that many sort of alternative songs about being a parent? I mean, maybe there are, maybe there aren't. I mean, I'm kind of on the spot here, but I don't know. I really like being a parent, and I really love the contrast of being a parent and a rocker. You know, it's kind of lovely, you know. You know, this whole idea that being a parent means you have to kind of suddenly wear starchy shirts and gilets and be very serious and dour could not be further from the truth. I mean, I'm twice as nutty as I ever was since becoming a parent to two lovely kids. So, I mean, I love it. You know, I love that I've been able to get the balance of, you know, career and little ones together. And I should hope that many of you listening to this can do the same, because it's a very lovely thing to do what you want to do and to have adorable little creatures with little pinchy cheeks, you know?
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, I've been creeping people out just going around calling myself daddy, because obviously that term has taken on a whole new meaning the last few years. So I've had endless fun just saying, hello, daddy here. And people saying, you know, I mean, you know, people being creeped out by it. But then I can say to them, listen, I'm not being creepy here. I am a daddy. I have two kids. I'm a literal daddy. You're the one that's reading into it too much. You're the one with your dirty mind, you know, reading between the lines. Whereas I'm just simply saying, daddy likes.
Okay, let's get back to the album. I feel like we should. Oilgate is the new album, and it came out of a period of, I guess, writer's block, that fear, you know. How did that kind of manifest itself?
I've gone on the record as saying, like, you know, without exaggeration, after my fourth record, Imagine I'm Hoping, which you were very, very good to, by the way, tremendously grateful for.
That's very good.
But I mean, you know, outside of yourself and a few other very generous folks, not many people heard it, and I took that very personally. I felt as though it was kind of the last bludgeon that I could take, you know, the last kind of knock to the jaw. And the thing is, like you know, as an artist, I mean, there are countless stories of people, you know, who did not have, for lack of a better term, success overnight. But for me, like, not only did I feel like I'd let everyone down, I felt like, you know, dude, you've been living a lie your whole life. This dream that you've been chasing was all for nothing, and you've failed. And it was not a good time, truth be told. And it took the support of, you know, my wife and my mom and my dad, believe it or not, to get me back on track. They kind of, I think, who was it? It was that they staged an intervention of sorts to kind of get me back on track. So, you know, I put up a statement there on Friday saying, you know, look, even if you don't like the record, you know, if you tell friends and family that you love them, you know, just do me the favor and tell someone you love them in your life, you know, because, you know, it's nice to acknowledge the what people bring to you in your life and hopefully what you bring to them or whatever. But the album only, this album exists because of my family. Mm. There is an alternative universe where this doesn't happen, you know, but were it not for their support, there's no way I would have continued.
Yeah, yeah. And it all came to a head when you were sitting outside Oilgate Station, and that must have been a kind of a transformative moment if it ended up being the kind of title of the album.
Yeah, well, it kind of became the anchoring point of the record. You know, at the time, I didn't think of it as deeply profound, although I do recall being sort of, you know, every kind of thought hitting you at once, the sort of feelings that one has at night when they're trying to sleep and every kind of thought, mostly negative, is bouncing around your head like a sort of like a computer screen with a little dot just going boop, boop, boop in all the corners and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was in that moment, and we sort of go into that in the song Oilgate Station, where, I mean, a lot of people don't know what I'm saying, but I'm literally just talking about the staff of the gas station. Do you know what I mean? They might be out of stock, they might be out to lunch, bang to rights, which is just me, like, you know, maybe, I think I recall one of them was being, like, I was waiting for a while in the queue, and they left the shop unattended, and I thought, well, you'll be bang to rights there. Do you know what I mean? And it's sort of focusing on the mundanity of this and the randomness of this. I mean, it was almost like a trauma reaction or something. I don't know how to describe it, but that's a thing that I often do when I write, is I focus in on just mundane things, whether it's like looking at just a picture on a waiting room wall and just being like, what's up with that picture, you know? I don't quite know how to describe it properly, but sort of how my head works, you know?
Yeah.
It goes, you know, rather than addressing a lot of situations head on, oftentimes my mind goes off in these sort of flights of fancy or whatever, and it's all, I mean, it's a funny one.
Well, it's a gorgeous album. There's a lot of depth to it. There's a lot of joy and about a lot of anxiety and all those kind of things that come from the kind of experience that you're talking about. One of the things that I think is kind of interesting is that it's probably more synth heavy than maybe a lot of your other stuff before. And as well, there's a sort of a lot of times where the lyrics, I found the lyrics hard to understand, or I wasn't exactly sure what the words were. And I thought that was interesting, that there was a sort of a stepping back of the Paddy Hanna frontman into the songs a bit. And I was wondering whether that was deliberate or not.
Unconsciously, it probably was. They often talk about Jimi Hendrix always trying to bury his vocals in the mix. I mean, he had such a wonderful, soulful, expressive voice, but he didn't see it that way. And he was always trying to push his voice down in the mix. So it's quite possible that on an unconscious level, because my confidence was just shaken, that I did try to bury the vocals a bit. But then I suppose it sort of contrasts with some of the bigger moments on the album where I'm sort of singing like I'm singing on a bleeding balcony. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So a lot of that comes from the fact that, like, I would say about 70% of the vocals were recorded at home. So it was the first time I ever recorded outside, like, you know, proper home recording.
Mm.
So, like, you know, so a lot of the vocals are quiet because I'm trying not to bother anyone, essentially, you know? So
yeah.
I suppose I was stepping into that kind of territory. You know, they often talk about bedroom artists having these kind of often sort of, you know, ethereal kind of peculiar sounds. And that's often born out of trying to keep it down a little bit. You know what I mean? So oddly enough, it is in many ways, it's a bedroom album too. You know, it's a synth record, but also a large chunk of it was recorded in a bedroom.
Yeah, no, look, it's a gorgeous album. And I think it's something to be really proud of. A really interesting thing I thought about the town of Oilgate. The town of Oilgate is tiny, 389 inhabitants. It's said to have been founded by St. David. And another town that was said to be founded by St. David is Glastonbury. And I just thought that was an amazing sort of connection, that at the point you were at your lowest, and then Glastonbury being the highest point, you know, for a lot of musicians. So you were at the lowest point for a lot of musicians, you know, twinned in the place that is the highest point for a lot of musicians. And I thought that was a beautiful symmetry.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this man has done his research. And can I also just say, by the way, on a personal level, like, so when I recorded this record, I didn't know what my plan was to release it or whatever. So I reached out to some people in the industry whom I knew to see if they could lend some time to discuss, help me figure out, formulate a plan. And Kieran was one of the first people to get back. And like he gave me a lot of his time. And it was very, very much appreciated and valued. So, you are one of the stepping stones to this album's creation in some way. So you should give yourself partial credit. I'm not giving you any royalties, but I will thank you.
Well, that's lovely to say.
For giving me your, yeah. I really appreciated the time you gave to me because it helped build up my confidence, you know, and help me formulate a plan, you know? Like, I took into effect some of your ideas and everything. So thank you from the bottom of my heart, Kieran.
Oh, you're very good to say. Well, look, the album is excellent. Go and check it out. Oil Gate, it's called, by Paddy Hannah, and he's playing in Whelan's next. It's the 17th of April in Whelan's. I think it's that Friday.
It's actually Thursday. It's Holy Thursday. So think of it as the night where you all buy your booze before Good Friday.
Yeah, yeah. So go and see Paddy next Thursday in Whelan's and go and check out the album, Oilgate. Now, thank you so much, Paddy.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
We're going to play it right now. We're going to play the title track, the almost title track, Oilgate Station, from the album Oilgate on Radio Nova.
The Nova Guest List Podcast with Kieran McGuinness, the very best in indie, alternative and homegrown music from the seriously addictive Radio Nova.